Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, there's so much in this entire book. You know, it has continuity. If you were to read it from Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1 all the way to the end, chapter 6 and verse 18, read the entire book. Paul wrote it as a letter. He didn't write it in chapter and verse. It was divided. And for reference point and for our sake, you know, for to make it easier to refer to. But this is a letter, and there's much, much in the book of Galatians, the letter that he wrote to the churches of Galatia. Verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Well, see, this makes more sense if you had already read chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1, he said, "O foolish Galatians." I mean, he's just not mincing words. "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Well, that's a rhetorical question. They knew the answer. He knew the answer. So he answers, he responds to what the answer would be. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit?" Because that's the answer. Did you receive it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? The answer is, we received it by the hearing of faith. Well, then, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Because there are those that had come in that had heard of their receiving Jesus Christ and wanted to walk with God, and they were telling them, well, now you've got to get under the old covenant and obey the law of Moses. And they were coming in to, among other things, get them circumcised because they hadn't been. And many other things that they were trying to get them to do to obey the law of Moses. And the law of Moses is good, and we can go and read it, and we can learn from it. But Paul asked them and called them foolish. And he asked, who's bewitched you? You started this life that you have in Jesus Christ. You got by the Spirit or by the hearing of faith. You received this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, by the hearing of faith. It wasn't by doing any works of the law. So now you're going to do the works of the law and be made mature? Foolish. Foolish. Somebody say amen. So now if you keep reading this, you come over into chapter 5, he tells them, stand fast. That is, don't be easily moved by every wind of doctrine, by others that would come in, you know, spying out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, and saying, well, you've got to get back under the law. You know, it's virtually everywhere you go. You know, this was written many years ago, but he could have been writing it today. Because virtually everywhere you go, you've got people that are telling you, you've got to obey this and obey that. You've got to keep the law. And yet, the law of God is still God's idea, but he doesn't want us to keep the law because it was written down on tablets of stone. He wants us to keep his law because it's written on the tables of our heart. So Paul talked about more about the difference between the Spirit and the flesh than anyone else. I mean, Peter did some too, but Paul did more. The real fight is in the flesh. That's where the real fight is. He wrote to the Romans and said, mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. He said, there's no condemnation of them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free. Made us free from the law of sin and death, and the law of sin and death is the law of Moses. If you go back, and we won't take the time tonight to do that, but if you go back and read Romans chapter 7 and then read Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 is a great redemption chapter. Romans chapter 7, I've heard preachers identify with Romans chapter 7. They would say, you know, it's just like Paul. The thing that I want to do, I can't. The thing that I don't want to do, I end up doing. I'm just like Paul. But Paul was talking about himself before he was born again. Not since. Before he was born again, he wanted to obey God, but he couldn't. And in the end of Romans chapter 7, toward the end of that chapter, he called it the body of death. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's like a dead body strapped to my flesh. And a dead body strapped to your living flesh will cause decay. That dead body will decay the living flesh. And Paul said that nature in me to do sin when I want to do good is like having a dead body strapped to me. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 8, he begins, there is now, therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if you go back earlier in Romans, you find that he referred to the law of Moses as good, holy, and just. But when it came, it caused sin to appear exceeding sinful, therefore working death. He said the law is just, holy, and good. But when it came, sin revived and I died. He said I was alive once without the law. But then the law came, sin revived, and I died. The law is holy, just, and good, but it came and caused sin to appear as sin, exceeding sinful, is the way he put it in the book of Romans. And he said, therefore, working death in me. I didn't know I was dead till the law came. I didn't know I was sinning until the law came. I was alive to God once, but then the law came, sin revived, and I died. So the law of Moses, what it did to Paul was it caused sin to appear exceeding sinful, and it worked death in him. So he called the law of Moses the law of sin and death. She's got it up there, Romans 7:13. And the law came so that sin would appear sin, working death in me. What did that? The law did that. It's good, but sin by the commandment became exceeding sinful. And so it's good, the law is good, but it was made death to me. So you can ask people, you can just ask people, what is the law of sin and death? And they'll give you all kinds of answers. They'll talk about the curse of the law, and that's true, all right. Deuteronomy 28 talks about the curses. Talks about the blessings of Abraham and then the curses of the law. Galatians 3:13, we're redeemed from the curse. The curse of the law is the law. Because you can't keep it. Well, if that's the command of God and you can't keep it, it becomes a curse. And so Paul said in Galatians 3:13, he said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Not the curses of the law. There are those, and that's true, all right, and they're associated. But Paul was calling the law the curse because he couldn't keep it. And he called it the law of sin and death because it caused sin to appear sin, and it worked death. So what is the law of sin and death? The law of Moses. What is the curse of the law? The law. Because you can't keep it, and it causes sin to appear and working death. So in Romans chapter 7, he's talking about himself before he was born again. He said, I find in me that which wants to do good, but I can't. And when I see evil and I don't want to do it, I find something in me that goes ahead and does it. And he said later in Romans 7, he said, wretched man that I am. Because I desire to serve God and please God, but there's another law working in me that's against God. And it's like a body of death. And who's going to deliver me? Oh, wretched man. And I've heard preachers identify, well, I'm just like Paul. In Romans chapter 7, I'm just like Paul. What I want to do, I can't do. And what I don't want to do, I end up doing. And I'm just like Paul. Well, Paul's talking about himself before being born again. So all of Romans 7, well, maybe not the whole chapter, but he's reflecting on himself before he was born again. And if you don't read Romans 7 in that light, you'll misunderstand it, and a lot of people have misunderstood it. Again, I hear him behind the pulpit relating to Paul. Well, what I want to do, I can't do. What I don't want to do, I end up doing. I'm just like Paul. I don't know how many times I've heard that from the pulpit. What I want to do, I can't do, and what I don't want to do, I end up doing. I'm just like Paul. stand up and say, aren't you born again? When he said that, he was referring to when he wasn't. That there was something in him working against him. And his flesh and the spirit too. Because his spirit's not born again. He said, I was alive. That's not his flesh. I was alive once without the law. But when the law came, sin revived. That's not the flesh. Sin revived and I died. That's not the flesh. That's the spirit. So he's talking about himself before he was born again. Amen. And so, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, or the body of this death, I thank God. Aren't you glad for God sending Jesus Christ? Jesus became the curse. Jesus perfectly obeyed the law. Nobody else could. And yet he went ahead and died and went to the cross. And the wages of sin is death, and he bore that because that's what we should have borne and did until Jesus. Amen. But eternal death, we won't taste that because he took our place. He became sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the end, and then Romans chapter 8, beginning. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, there is therefore now no condemnation. We ought to just get free from condemnation and don't be sin conscious and don't be remembering what you did last year and last week and last month. And if you've asked for forgiveness, if you've repented, if you've appropriated the blood, thank God there's cleansing power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's what Jesus came for. One of the reasons, not the only reason. So Paul said there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit. When you're walking after the flesh, you are condemned. Amen. And he wrote and he said, I want you to mortify the deeds of the body. He wrote more about this than anybody else. Okay, you're born again. You're Christians. You have the life of God inside you. You've got the nature of God inside you. You've got now the nature that I didn't have before I was born again. And I remember that I wanted to serve God and I couldn't because there was a law working in me that was contrary to the will to serve God. But Jesus Christ redeemed me from that, and I'm in Christ Jesus, and I don't have any condemnation. And as long as I walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, then I am no condemnation, and I'm blessed. And so you Romans, he wrote to the Romans, and we'll get back to Galatians. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, because the flesh still has wrong desires. And he wrote more about this than anybody else. Paul did, Peter did some too, but not as much. But your flesh has desires that God doesn't agree with. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, he said the flesh is enmity with God. He said those that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's in Romans chapter 8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's a good one to camp out on. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, enmity, if you look that word up, it's in your English dictionary. It means one meaning, one definition of it is deep-seated hatred. Deep-seated hatred. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind is enmity. Deep-seated hatred. God's redeemed your spirit and you're to dominate your flesh. Now the redemption for the flesh is coming. And in Romans 8 it says we groan within ourselves to know the redemption of the body. The body is not redeemed yet. And when we walk in the flesh and when we walk according to the carnal mind, we're contrary to the will of God. Unless you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you really get transformed, is get the mind renewed. Can somebody say amen? Now, these verses are in here, but sometimes they're a little bit misunderstood, and you would misunderstand them if you didn't know that Romans 7 was referring to Paul before he was born again, and Romans 8 is the great redemption chapter, that we're redeemed, and there's no condemnation, but now we're to walk after the Spirit. Amen. Can I have an amen, somebody? So, in Galatians 5 now, Paul wrote a lot about this subject. In Galatians 5, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage he's talking about is the law. That's the yoke of bondage. And to believe that I'm going to please God by keeping the law according to the flesh. Now, Now, some things you're going to keep anyway if you walk by the Spirit, because if you're living by the Spirit and walking in love, you're not going to steal. But the reason you're deciding not to steal isn't because it's one of the Ten Commandments written down on a tablet of stone. It's because it's in your heart. And you're not doing it because of a work of the flesh or a work of the law. You're doing it by the Spirit because God in your heart says, don't do that. It's in line with His Word, but the reason you're doing it has changed. You might still be doing it, but the reason has changed. And I'm not obeying the ordinances, and I'm not, the letter of the law killeth, but I'm still deciding to not kill, steal, and things of that nature according to the old covenant. It's still God's idea, but He wants us to keep the law because it's based on love in our hearts. And so, He comes down in verse 14, Galatians 5:14. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you walk in love, you won't steal, you won't kill, you won't bear false witness, and so on, covet, and all that. If you walk in love, and with the love of God in your heart, you're keeping the will of God, but not because it's the letter of the law, but it's by the Spirit in your heart. Everybody see that? Now, verse 15 says, if you bite and devour one another. That's a good verse to put right after verse 14. Well, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, what about biting and devouring? Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Verse 16 is a powerful verse. I love this verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, the desire of the flesh will not be fulfilled. The desire of the flesh will be there, but you won't fulfill it because your spirit won't agree. So walk in the Spirit. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. That is, your flesh doesn't agree with your spirit, and your spirit doesn't agree with your flesh. I mean, there are times that it would, and that's wonderful when it does, but your flesh still has the sin nature in it. And it's contrary to God. That's why we need to purpose to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus is the Lord of your spirit, but you're the Lord of your flesh. That's where you just make the decision, I'm going to say no to that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body. Well, if Paul had to dominate his body, I mean, if Paul did, then I know I'm going to need to. And you are too. Paul, where he was in his following Jesus Christ and serving Jesus Christ, still had to dominate his flesh. That is, Paul's flesh had things, had desires that were not in agreement with God. He said, I keep under my body. Well, if Paul did that, I know that others are going to have to too. Amen. So you walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit's contrary to the flesh. They're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That is, you can't obey both of them at the same time because they're contrary. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, then you can't do that thing your flesh wants you to do if you're going to walk in the Spirit. And see, that was the dilemma Paul was in. He wanted to serve God, but there was a law working in him before he was born again, and he called it the body of death, and he called himself a wretched man. But then in chapter 8, he said, I'm delivered. I'm not that same man anymore. I don't understand preachers from the pulpit relating with Paul in chapter 7. If you're going to relate with Paul, get over into chapter 8. Because he said now, not then, but now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit. I couldn't before, but now I can. I couldn't in chapter 7, but now in chapter 8 I can. Because Christ Jesus has delivered me. Oh, hallelujah. That's where to identify. So he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you won't do the things your flesh wants you to do. Verse 18, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not even under the law. Well, you need to get back under the law. Well, Paul said, if you're under the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen. Do the law of Moses? Do we have to keep the Ten Commandments? Do we have to keep the Old Testament law? If you walk in the Spirit, you don't. It'll be automatic. Amen. If we walk in the Spirit or led of the Spirit, we're not under the law. Now, beginning with verse 19, he begins to contrast the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit. Beginning with verse 19. The born-again believer, the Christian, the one in Christ, has desires of the flesh and desires of the Spirit. Or the characteristics. If you would yield to the flesh, you'd be doing this. But if you'd yield to the Spirit, you'd be doing this. And so the desires or the characteristics, the nature of the flesh and the nature of the Spirit. Every child of God has this as a part of their being. And he begins with verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then he lists, I think there's 17. Adultery. Your flesh wants to do that. Now again, all of these, the devil may tempt. He may come in and encourage. You might have a cheerleader in the room encouraging you, nudging you, egging you on. It might be a spirit talking to your head. It might be through another person encouraging you. But in all of these, every one of them, Paul called it a work of the flesh. The flesh has this desire, a tendency. Maybe not everybody every time, but when they do, it's the flesh that wanted to do that. The spirit may tempt. James said, we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. A man is tempted when that happens. Well, the devil can tempt, and he can nudge and encourage and seduce and use even other people to do that. But if your flesh didn't already want to do that, then it would be different. Amen. I think about Adam. His flesh didn't want to sin, and he did anyway. That's why we could call that high treason. He didn't even have a flesh that was wanting to go that way. But see, in our day, the flesh is contrary to God, but our spirit should be in dominion. That's where God wants us to live. That's why Paul said, by the Spirit, mortify or put to death the works of the flesh, the deeds of the body. Where I dominate. I tell my body what to do. That's how I'm supposed to live. Jesus is Lord of your spirit. You're Lord over your flesh. I hear Christians pray, Lord, take this away from me. And it's some old bad habit. Well, he's not going to take that away from you. What's he going to do with it if he took it? You hear people say, take this tobacco from me. What's he going to do with it? He doesn't smoke. He doesn't chew. He doesn't dip. What's he going to do with it? He wants you to dominate it. Oh, Lord, just take this away. No, it'd be wonderful if we just didn't have any fleshly desires. That's why in Romans 8, Paul said, we're groaning. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm groaning a lot. I'd like to get out of this body sometimes. I just wish it would shut up because I realize it's contrary. And just tell it to be quiet, groaning to know the redemption of the body. But people are trying to get God to do what you're supposed to do. Romans chapter 12 says for you to present your body a living sacrifice. It doesn't say ask God to take it. You know, make my body a living sacrifice. No, he told you to do that. He told you to do that. You know, oh, somebody cast this gluttonous spirit out of me. And they go through some rigmarole and now you can eat what you want to eat. Understand that they cast this spirit out of me and I'm still gaining weight. Well, you're still eating, aren't you? They cast that spirit of gluttony out of me, told me I could eat anything I want to eat, and I'm still gaining weight. See, there's no spirit of gluttony. I mean, the devil may tempt, but whether the devil doesn't have to be a half a mile, within range of you, you've still got your body to dominate. Your body still has wrong desires. And we've got our flesh to deal with. And so all of these 17, beginning with verse 19, 17 things listed here, and they're all called works of the flesh. Adultery, the body wants to do that. The first four of these are sexual. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Then idolatry. Notice just witchcraft is a work of the flesh. That's interesting. The devil may be involved, but it's the flesh that likes that. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before and have also told you in the time past, they which do such things, that is, as a lifestyle. And when you do these things and you don't have it in your heart that it's wrong, I mean, certainly, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Some people deal with these things. That's not what he's talking about. There are Christians that have to dominate this and then repent of it and find themselves get involved in it. But these that are enjoying this as a lifestyle, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. But then contrasted with the works of the flesh, and you could also call these the fruit of the flesh, because that's really the same thing. Now he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the works of the Spirit. Works, fruit, same thing. Works of the flesh, fruit of the flesh. Works of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. And he lists 9. What's on the inside of you? Now see, all this other is the flesh. But on the inside of you, by God, the nature of God through Jesus Christ, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. I mean, any time you can tap into it. Outward, you may have all kinds of things, you know, coming against you. But this is always on the inside of you. You can tap into it. Just walk in the light of it. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is always on the inside of you. Love is always there. He talked about putting on the new man, didn't he? Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What does he mean by that, put on the new man? Well, the way you'd put on a coat, and then people look at you, they see that coat. If you put on a blue coat, then when people look at you, they see that blue coat. You put that on. That's what people see. That's what people see because you've put that on. Well, the new man on the inside, he wants you to put that on to where that's what people see on the outside. Put that on. And he told you to do it, not pray that God would do it for you. God's provided us with armor, but he told us to put it on. And if I don't put it on just because I've got it available doesn't mean I'm going to wear it. Put on the whole armor of God, Paul said in Ephesians 6, but he told me to put it on. Put on the new man. Ephesians 4:24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, what does that mean? Well, you've got something on the inside of you that's created by God. Now put that on. Put that on. Put it on the outside. Let it be seen. The works of the flesh are one thing. He said to put those things off. And then the new things of God created in God, he said to put those things on. We ought to just camp out here for just a moment. Ephesians 4:22. Put off. Now he tells you to do that. I'm just praying that God would take this away from me. Well, you're praying wrong. Because he told you to do it. Put off concerning the former conversation. What does conversation mean? Lifestyle. Conduct. That doesn't mean how you talk, but unless you're talking with your actions. Action speaks louder than words anyway, somebody said. So this is talking about your physical conversation or your conduct or lifestyle. So put off concerning the former lifestyle. That is how you used to live before you were born again. Put that off. That's how the old man lived. But see, he's dead, and that lifestyle is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, the body still wants to do those things, but the spirit on the inside of you is gone. That's an old man, and you need to just put off the works. The body that wants to do what the old man used to do, you put that off now. It's like if you move into a dilapidated building or house, and somebody that lived there before you seemed quite content to live in squalor. You know, they lived in trash and squalor, but you've moved in now. Well, you're going to clean it up, aren't you? Because you're just not going to live the way that other person lived. Now, somebody says, I've got termites. Well, you don't mean you you live in. Well, my house has termites. That's true, all right, but that doesn't mean you have termites. Well, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to get the exterminator. I'm going to get rid of them. That other person put up with it. I'm not going to put up with it. This place is just filled with squalor and trash and dirt and junk, and I'm going to clean it up. I've moved in now. I'm going to clean it up. See, when the new man comes in, there's some cleaning to do because the body is remembering the old man. And the body will still try to do what the old man let it do. The body still has desires that the old man trained and acclimated and made familiar with. You know, the body can be trained. Amen. And the old man would let that body do those things. And it didn't hurt that. You know, one way you can tell somebody's saved is when they do something and their heart is hurt. I've asked people, I said, when you did that before you got saved, did it bother you? No. Does it bother you now? Oh, yes. That's proof you're saved. Because now it bothers you. See, the old man put up with it. But you don't want to put up with it. Now you do something about it. Clean it up. God will help you, but He won't do it apart from you. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you the grace and the encouragement and others. That's what we're supposed to be doing too, is encourage one another. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, He told the others to loose him and let him go. We need to do more loosening than condemning. When we see people messing up, we ought to do more loosening than condemning. I said, when we see people messing up, we ought to do more loosening than condemning. Encourage them to help, you know, put that off. You need to put that off. Maybe sometimes we do. Just let them know. And encourage them. Because we're told to put it off and then be renewed in the spirit of our mind. You're not really going to be changed till your mind is renewed. And your attitude and how you think. And then put on the new man. So you're told to put off something. You're told to put on something. Aren't you? Verse 22 says put off. Verse 24 says put on. Yeah, I've got these desires. I know you do. Put them off. Don't yield to them. Just make yourself not do it. Make a decision to not respond, to not yield. How do I do that? Well, through the Word and through the Spirit. Through the Word and through the Spirit. Feed your faith. Feed your spirit and pray and build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Be strengthened. He is the one to strengthen you with all might. Glory to God. And that's what He said in Romans chapter 8, is you put off or mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. So you put it off, put it on. It's not just a willpower, but yet your will is involved. It's not just a New Year's resolution, and yet you need to have this resolve. It's not just turning a new leaf over on life and getting a new lease, and yet you do have newness of life and God gave you a new lease. But there's something that I have to do. Amen. You have to do it. And thank God we can. Turn and tell your neighbor, you can. Tell your other neighbor, I can. He told me to put something off. He told me to put something on. And then verse 25, He said, put away lying. So He didn't just leave it, you know, in general, this is going to cover everything. Let me just be a little specific. I want you to put off things and put on things, but let me just be specific. Also, put away lying. Maybe He was dealing with that there in that church. They were doing a lot of that. I don't know. But it's pertinent. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Well, verse 27 is good. Neither give place to the devil. So you can choose. Don't give place to the devil. You can choose to resist him. Verse 28, you used to steal, don't do it anymore. Well, I'm just a moocher. I'm expecting everybody to give to me. And this says labor, working with your hands. That which is good. Now, some people have worked and they've lived their lives and now they're retired, but they're still, you know, it's not saying you've got to put in 8 hours a day every day. But you're not a moocher either. Somebody say, man, I just don't know about some of these people. God bless, give me all your money. If you used to steal, don't do it anymore. Labor, working with your hands, that which is good, in order to have to give to him that needeth. Give to the needy, not necessarily the greedy. Those who are in need indeed. Verse 29, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We could camp out here for a while. Oh, that covers a lot. Just you stop some things from coming out of your mouth. You don't talk the way the world talks anymore. You don't talk the way you used to talk anymore. Let what comes out of your mouth be good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Do you suppose that doing these things might grieve God? Oh, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Now come back to Galatians 5. I mean, this is good, isn't it? Galatians chapter 5, then, it comes over into the fruit of the Spirit. That is, put this on. It's on the inside of you. Let it show up on the outside of you. At any moment, you can make the decision, I'm going to respond with love, because that's on the inside of me. I'm going to put it on and let other people see it. Love. Joy. That's on the inside of me. Circumstances of life have come against me. My response is joy. That's on the inside of me. I'm going to put it on the outside. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and that's also faithfulness, because it's your character. And people having faith in your faithfulness. You are of the character that people can have faith in you. This isn't your faith in God. God is faithful. But this is your character. This isn't God's love as much as God's love in you, giving you love. God has joy all the time, but it's on the inside of you. God has peace all the time. He lives this way, but it's on the inside of you. God is has long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Certainly God is faithful, and we have faith in Him. But this is referring to your character. I need to have the character of a Christian where I am faithful and people can have faith in me. Love comes out of me if I'll put that on. Joy will come out of me if I'll put that on. Peace, that passeth all understanding, will come out of me if I will put that on. Long suffering, I'll be able to put up with some things a long time. I'll suffer for a long time. That ability is on the inside of me if I'll put it on. And I'll be gentle while I do it. Goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, that means self-control. God doesn't need self-control. This isn't God's fruit. This is because of God on the inside of you. It's your fruit. Fruit grows on branches. It may be because of the life of the vine, but fruit grows on branches. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Fruit grows on the branches. It may be because of the life of the vine, but the fruit grows on the branches. I've heard people say, well, this is God's love. It's because of God, but it's your love. Well, you know, I need to trust in God's joy. It's because of God, but it's your joy. Any more than it's His temperance. He doesn't need temperance. You know, God, you just need a little more self-control. No, I'm the one who needs self-control, and it's on the inside of me. And I'm told to put it on. And then fruit develops. Fruit grows. I'm getting better at this. Said out loud, I'm getting better at this. Turn and tell somebody, I'm getting better at this. I'm growing in grace. I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. I'm getting better at this. Fruit is growing. Fruit is being developed. And then it says, against such there is no law. The end of verse 23, no law needs to control these 9 fruit of the Spirit. Now, laws need to control the 17 works of the flesh. Murder, well, that's against the law. There are laws to control that. We've got laws that say, don't do that. But we don't have a law that says you just can't have too much joy. Yeah, that's against the law. You've got too much love. That's against the law. No law needs to control the love that's in you. It's not against the law to have more love. It's not against the law to have more peace. It's not against the law to have more self-control. There's no law that needs to control these traits, these desires, these characteristics of the Christian. The 17 works of the flesh are controlled by laws, but these 9 fruit of the Spirit don't need to be controlled by any law. there's no law that's controlling these. And then it says, verse 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That is, it's already on the cross. Now, awake to righteousness and sin not. Identify with Him. Colossians chapter 1, it says that we've been delivered from the authority of darkness. Colossians 1:13. People build ministries today on deliverance. And they have people come and call in and write in to get delivered. To get delivered. And yet Colossians 1:13 says we are delivered. If we would teach to the Christians, people are delivered, and encourage Christians to walk in the light of it, we would have fewer deliverance ministries. We wouldn't need them, because we'd have people realizing they're already delivered. This says that if you are Christ, then just like He went to the cross, so did you. Just like He was crucified, so were you. And Paul said, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So when we yield to that newness of life, we realize that the flesh does not get its way anymore. Because we've been delivered from the authority of darkness. We've been crucified with Christ with the affections and lusts. We've been delivered from the affections and the lust of the flesh if we'd walk in the Spirit. So the power that we have on the inside is available every moment of every day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do what He's called me to do. And He's told me to put some things off. He's told me to put some things on. And I have that on the inside of me right now. Can somebody say amen? Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen? Say it out loud, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Galatians 5:25 in the Amplified Bible. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. It's what I yield to. I'm going to yield. I purpose to do so. Feeding it. Feed the puppy dog, right? Starve the lion, feed the puppy dog. One will get weaker, one will get stronger. Starve the flesh, feed the Spirit. Starve the flesh, feed the Spirit. Starve the lion, feed the puppy dog. One will get weaker, one will get stronger. Feed on the Word of God and the Spirit of God and walk therein. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank You for Your Word and for Your Spirit. Thank You for Your grace upon those who hear it. Thank You for Your goodness in our hearts and in our lives as we walk with You. Oh, You've told us these are things that we can do. And we thank You for the strength from within. We thank You, Father, You've redeemed us from the nature of sin. And we have the ability to put under the flesh and from our spirits, our whole hearts, serve Thee. And we do so. We do so with great rejoicing in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you. Give somebody around you a great big God bless you.